Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. We start from there. All of us will read together. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. Are you there? Genesis 12 and verse 2. Let's go. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Amen. This is God's promise to Abraham. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Let's title our discussion, The Promise of Wealth. The Promise of Wealth. The first thing I notice is that first line in Genesis 12 verse 2. I will make you a great nation. So, we know that God was speaking to Abraham as an individual. But with this statement, we know that God also had another picture in his mind. And it was the picture of a nation. So I look at all those promises. In verse 1, God had said, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And obviously, in that land, he would become a nation. So he says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great, make you a blessing. And the question that comes on my mind is, in verses 2 and 3, is God speaking to Abraham as an individual or as a nation? When he says, I will make you a great nation, then he says, I will bless you. Is he saying that he will bless Abraham as an individual or as a nation? I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. It does seem to me that from the point where God says, I will make you a great nation, the blessings that he pronounces after that are for Abraham not only as an individual, but as a nation. That as a nation, he'll be blessed. He'll make the name of the nation great. The nation will be blessed. He will bless whoever blesses the nation. He will curse whoever curses the nation that comes from Abraham. And in that nation that will come from Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. I'm saying this because the Holy Spirit just drew my attention to the fact that most of the teachings that we have done on financial blessing have been on the basis of individual prosperity, but that his perspective is wider than that. A number of the scriptures that we have appropriated for individual prosperity were actually even addressed to the nation. Because national prosperity will impact on your individual prosperity. It will. In Jeremiah 29, in verse 7, Jeremiah the prophet is writing to Israel while they are in captivity in Babylon. Hear what he says. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. He said, for in its peace you will have peace. See? Peace here is shalom. It's more than just having tranquility of mind. It's wholesome peace or wholesomeness. Having nothing missing and nothing broken in your spirit, soul, body, and life. It includes health. It includes soul prosperity, peace in your heart, joy in your heart, and includes material blessing, wholeness. Pray for the wholeness of the city into which you have been carried as captives, and pray for the city. For in the wholeness or peace and prosperity of the city, you will have peace and prosperity. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses is speaking to Israel from verse 6. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, verse 10, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, wonderful. These words, were they to an individual or to a nation? It was a whole nation. The whole nation that was brought out of Egypt. Moses was addressing the nation. So you see, we've to a large extent taken those promises, appropriated them individually, but they were meant for the nation. The nation will eat bread without scarcity. The nation will build beautiful houses and dwell in them. The nation will dwell in a land where you have brooks of water and you have springs. There will be mineral resources in the soil. The promise is to the nation. Whether we realize it or not, the prosperity of the city and of the nation will put a cap on our capacity for prosperity. National prosperity impacts on personal prosperity. However powerful your seed is, the environment will determine or affect its productivity. Each individual cannot build hospitals for themselves. Amen. Build a specialist hospital and employ the doctors that will work there and the nurses for yourself. See, because I see a trend. Because we have refused to address certain things that we should do collectively, we're taking them on individually. We're taking on water supply individually. Each person is sinking boreholes in their houses. We're taking on power supply individually. You're buying power generating sets. So each house is a local government, all by itself. And you are the honorable chairman of the local government of your house. You can't single-handedly build the roads that your cars need to drive on. You can't single-handedly build the schools that your children should attend. When I look at the template in scriptures, community prosperity provides leverage when we pool resources together. We are able to do things that individuals can never do on their own. In Acts of the Apostles, that's the template. That's the template. In Acts of the Apostles, for example, let me read chapter 4, verse 32, or from verse 32. Acts 4 from verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Verse 34, nor was there anyone among them who lacked. They broke the backbone of poverty, but it was collective effort. There was none who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as anyone had need. You know, as a pastor who wants to do Bible, we know we should ensure nobody goes to bed hungry in our church. That for us is the creed. It's an indictment on the church if anybody goes to bed hungry in that church, and there are people driving four cars. At the most basic thing, food. But then I realize people's needs are more than that. There are people who can't pay health bills, hospital bills. We do quite a bit of that. There are people who can't pay school fees for their kids. We do quite a bit of that. And then we realize there are quite a number of people who can't even pay their house rent. We began to take that on, and somewhere along the line stopped, because we realized we could only do so much. I've been around the world, and I've seen that these issues that we're trying to take on individual basis are supposed to be addressed collectively. Maybe the one that touches me the most is housing. It's a very basic need. People can't sleep on the street at the mercy of the elements. We can't. So, I see some countries where, in the first place, if you rent a house, you pay your rent monthly. I see some others, and you know the some others, where you pay rent per annum, or sometimes for 2 years when you are getting a new house. It's crazy. You should pay for your basic expenses from your income. Am I right? Now, if I did not collect my salary 1 year ahead, why should I pay for house rent 1 year ahead? Okay, let's leave the rent. Then I see some parts of the world where the average person who has a job, fairly stable job, has access to mortgage. You take a loan from a bank at a reasonable interest rate, and you pay over 25 years. So you have the other person who lives in a country where he or she has no access to mortgage. So for those 25 years that the person in this other country is paying mortgage, paying the loan back, the person here is paying rent. 25 years down the line, this person fully owns the house. All the money this person was paying every month was not lost. It was increasing the person's ownership of the house until the person owns the house fully. Of course, the person will also have paid interest. But after 25 years, the value of the house won't be the same as it was when the person began to pay the mortgage. Thank you. So come over to this other side. this person's been paying rent for 25 years, and I trust the landlord not to keep the rent the same for 25 years, and all the money that this person spent over 25 years has been blown away, the person will never see the money again. The gap between them has widened by a wide margin over 25 years. And the difference is just policy, is the environment, and the way it is structured, and the economy. So that's what I'm talking about, that when we focus only on individual prosperity, we're trying to appropriate scriptures and all of that, the environment is putting a limit. It's frustrating us. It's capping our capacity. And it is not a scriptural pattern. When we do not bring a national perspective at all into prosperity for Christians, we just breed Christians who are self-centered. Because you will notice that community prosperity works on the platform of sacrifice. You let go, you part with something, I part with something, but that collective thing that we put together creates a leverage for all of us. The New Testament church was free from greed, free from selfishness. When you focus much more on individual prosperity than you do on national prosperity, you just eventually get the spirit of Cain. Concerned only for yourself and other people, what happens to other people is not your business. God asked Cain, where is your brother? He asked God a question, am I my brother's keeper? Is it my business? It's not my responsibility. Every man for himself, God for us all. Good. So community prosperity affects personal prosperity. In Deuteronomy 28, Moses is blessing Israel. If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, obey his commandments, he will cause these blessings to run after you and to overtake you in the land of the living. You'll be blessed in the house, blessed in the field, blessed in your going out, blessed in your coming in. He will cause the rain to fall upon your land in due season. He will bless your basket and your store and your kneading bowl, you know, and all that. You'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be above only, you'll not be beneath. You know, the first thing, though, if you back up to verse 1, is you obey God's commandments, he will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Moses is speaking to a nation, not to an individual. But we appropriate those promises for ourselves as individuals. You will lend unto many nations. You will not borrow. Those promises are for a nation. When we focus on national prosperity, we are aligning with the template for the Great Commission. Because in Matthew 28, Jesus said, in verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Verse 19, he said, go therefore and teach all what? Nations. The gospel commission is for nations, people groups. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Where? Not to individuals. Yes, it includes individuals, but what was Jesus' focus? In Jerusalem, that city, and Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. If we do not bring in this perspective, we breed irresponsible Christians. Greedy but irresponsible Christians who think what's going on in town is not their responsibility. Jeremiah says to the Israelites, I know you are in a country that is not your own. They even carried you as captives. But you need to pray so that the city will prosper, because the prosperity of the city will affect your own. You cannot build an army to protect you by yourself. You can't run a police force by yourself. All those things have to be taken care of at a collective level. So, you and I need to pray for and to work towards national prosperity. There are too many destinies being wasted. Too many destinies being frustrated simply by the structure of our environment. Potentials are being trapped and frustrated. And many of the things some of us are praying about, they don't even pray about in other parts of the world. Some of our prayers are wasted. Prayers that should be focused, you know, on more serious issues. Expanding God's kingdom, spreading God's message, using it to pray for a car. People who can't afford to pay for surgery because the whole family can't raise 50,000 naira. We meet them in the hospitals. That's paying for poor quality healthcare. So we can't pretend, and each of us will now be struggling to rise above those limitations on individual level. That's what we've been trying to do. Each of us want to individually rise beyond, and you know what? We make a lot of noise about corruption in our country. I don't see the corruption coming to an end. I don't see anything. As long as people cannot meet basic needs, a hungry man cannot be a good citizen. I promise you. It's a lie. It's self-deception. Somebody can't legitimately from his salary pay his children's school fees. Now he has two or three of them in university. He can't build a house for himself. He can't meet his basic needs. You gave him a gun. You said he's a policeman. Or someone is level 15, level 16 officer, director, maybe, in the civil service. Can't pay his children's school fees legitimately. Can't own a house of his own. He's 50. He will think. And he is in charge of a government agency or department, and the budget is 20 billion. So what is he supposed to do with the budget? Appropriation. That's what it is called. He will appropriate it. But the church, as soon as Jesus left, the power of the Holy Ghost came. The church didn't leave individuals to try to struggle to break through financially on their own to find food to eat. Church took it on collectively. It's community prosperity. It impacts on individual prosperity. For a nation to prosper. So let's focus maybe for a few minutes on what the nation should do to prosper. What do we do to prosper collectively? A nation must have a vision. Vision is the key to provision. Break up the word provision. You have pro and vision. Pro means for or towards. What's the opposite of pro? Anti, against, good. Pro vision, for the vision. If you've stayed around us long enough, you know it. You have to break in before you break through. It is first within before it is without. You must see yourself as being prosperous. You must come to the point where you have become prosperous inside you, in your mind and in your soul, before you can attract prosperity. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. 3 John verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as what? Your soul prospers. You must have soul prosperity before you have material prosperity. That's as an individual. If a nation does not have a vision, it cannot have prosperity consciousness. A nation, an organization, a family can have poverty consciousness or prosperity consciousness. Several years ago, when our church was much younger than this. We were finding it difficult to balance the books, to pay the bills. One day, I asked the accountant to give me the files. Give me the file. I took the file home. I went into my study and spread the sheets before God, like Jehoshaphat did in the Bible. God, read it yourself. I said, I can't. These figures are not working. I can't work these figures. The bills were more than the income of the church. So while he was telling me what to do, one of the things he told me was that there was something wrong with what we were saying, with our mentality in the office, amongst the staff. When people requested for money for their departments, you know, it had become a common refrain for us to say, look, you know that the church does not have money. Why are you submitting that kind of a request? You know that the church does not have money. You know, before I knew it, it had become the mantra. You know that the church does not have money. You know, so the Holy Spirit said to me, that thing that you are saying, as long as you continue to say it, the church will not have money. I said, what you say is what you see. So the next staff meeting, I said to them, you know what, that statement that we have been making, the church does not have money, it is banned. It is banned. I must not hear that from anybody again here. Listen to me. The church has money. Okay? If your department submits a request and you don't get the money, it is because we can't just be spending the money anyhow. We need to manage it very well. The church has money. A family won't make progress as long as it has poverty consciousness. That's the function of leadership. That's why vision is critical to leadership. You have to create a new consciousness. If people don't move inside, they won't move outside. A nation must have a vision for development. And if there is any group of people in a nation that has the capacity to capture that vision, as you can see for our own country, most of those in leadership don't have the capacity. If there is any institution, any group of people that have the capacity, it's church people. Because in Acts chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, and this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall do what? See visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. The Holy Spirit activates your inner faculty. He opens your imagination and gives you new dreams. We must have a national vision. And then you must have values, national values, that drive the vision. It's the values that influence your behavior. It doesn't matter if you have a dream. There's a particular way you can behave and your dream will never come to pass. You must have values, standards, priorities. Love is number one, and that's the number one message of the church. Love. What does love translate into? Value for human life. You cannot develop a country. A country can prosper if it does not value human beings. When you have a country where the cars of some rich people are more valuable than some human beings, that country can prosper collectively. Some individuals may become stupendously rich, but collectively, that country can prosper. If you don't value human life, if you don't see human beings the way God sees them, created in the image of God, an extension of God, if you don't see that whatever God does not deserve, human beings don't deserve it, you don't even understand the basis for development in the first place. You won't understand why you need world-class hospitals, world-class roads. Okay, you won't understand why. I was looking at, the pictures on TV of a house that collapsed last week. And then there were other houses close by, you know, that were marked as distressed. When I saw those houses, I was grieved from inside. Human beings are not supposed to live there. But most of those who lead us don't think so. So what are we supposed to do? When it's election time, you know what the real issues are supposed to be. It's very interesting that when election time comes in this country, we don't address the real issues. We don't. Leadership. Your vote counts as a Christian. Okay? But more than that, that's not the only thing we can do. Who are we supposed to vote for? Some of us need to stand up, get involved. Get involved, not for what to eat, but to represent God, to influence the environment positively. Get involved in politics. Contest for elections. Some of us just simply need to start NGOs. Some of us just need to speak out. That's all we need to do. Some of us need to just take on some areas. Some of these areas, it may be that you'll be cooking food, in a food kitchen, maybe whatever, or you want to stand up to protect the rights of children or the rights of women. Some of us need to sponsor bills, either at the state or the National Assembly. Some of us need to get into the legislature, whichever it is. Some of us need to go into the judiciary to protect the right of the poor and the down and out. Okay? Whichever way it is, you need to take a clear stand and to contribute to the shaping of the environment. Of course, you know you need to start from church because this is God's government. If you are not responsible in God's house, how can you be responsible outside? It's just simple responsibility to pay tithe. That's your kingdom tax. The tithe is not a gift to God. He said it's mine. It's tax. So you know also that in the secular government, it's important to pay taxes. Where will the roads come from? Or the good hospitals? That's the complete mix there. You and I need to pray and walk towards the peace of the city or the nation in which we dwell. Because in its peace and prosperity, we will have peace and prosperity. But I'll add one thing before I go. How do you contribute to national prosperity if you are not prosperous? You need to take practical steps to prosper. Then you can contribute. More than contributing financially and materially, you can influence. If you are not doing well for yourself, you don't have a strong brand, or you don't have authority or material and financial resources, there's not much you can make happen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 16 says that the wisdom of the poor man is despised and his voice is not heard. If you don't have money, you will just have ideas. Your ideas will not count. Hallelujah. So in Daystar, we teach practical principles through which you can move from one level to the other financially. We have practical principles, and we have loads of people here, testimonies of people whose lives have changed, just like mine has changed, because the principles that we teach from the Word of God have no respect for persons. I am absolutely convinced, and I know that I am sent by God to break the backbone of poverty over people's lives. Not only in this nation, but on this continent and around the world. And I draw on that grace and anointing this morning to prophesy on someone here that whatever Satan may have created or employed, it may be government policies, it may be the environment, it may be a curse, whatever it is that he has employed to frustrate your journey to financial blessing, I declare today, it is destroyed. Yeah. From here on, receive grace. Yeah. God said, you know, Deuteronomy 8:18 says, it is God that gives you power, that gives you capacity to get wealth. Today, receive capacity. Yeah. In the mighty name of Jesus. Yeah. Receive enlargement of heart. Receive capacity to dream. Amen. Receive access to wisdom. Amen. Sometimes it's not a complex, it's not complexity. It's just simple obedience to God. In the name of Jesus, receive access to revelation. Amen. I prophesy on you a new level of favor. Amen. Favor. Amen. What was difficult before will be easy now. Amen. To a large extent, human beings are involved in your journey to prosperity. When there is no favor, people close doors on you. People refuse you. I prophesy in Jesus' name, favor rests on you today.
Amen.
Help will arise for you now.
Amen.
In the area of your finances.
Amen.
Wherever you show up.
Amen.
People will see you and love you.
Amen.
They may not be able to explain it.
Amen.
But they will love you.
Amen.
And they will want to help you.
Amen.
Those who told you no yesterday must tell you yes now. Documents that bear your name will come to people's attention this week. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I have enjoyed favor from God. I declare that you cannot be cursed. No one can curse the one that God has blessed. If Satan took anything away from you financially or materially, I prophesy right now they are restored to you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.